Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with J.D. Cecilia, Director of the DoD Lean Six Sigma Program Office. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Monica Painter. J.D., we find ourselves on the cusp of a presidential election and a major transition in leadership across the entire government. How will you manage your program through this disruption period, particularly in light of the various operations around the world?
Well, that is a fantastic question, and I hope we have a strategy that will be successful. But our strategy is really based on success. I mean, what we're trying to do is we are going to demonstrate success using Lean Six Sigma to the point that it doesn't matter who's in office. The way we look at the time frame is with the election in November and the actual administration changes out sometime in January, we want to have demonstrated so much success in some enterprise-wide projects that as the new folks rotate in, they take a look at this and they say, wow, I want to be a part of that. I want to support something that's successful. I want to support something that is saving money, saving lives, improving the quality of the Department of Defense, bringing the Department of Defense into like the 21st century of business practices and all that we're doing. So our strategy is really simple. We have picked some key projects, some key challenges that face Department of Defense. We work them from now through October. We brief out to the Deputy Secretary of this is what we've achieved thus far. We have some work left to do, but by January, we'll have completed some of the biggest ticket projects that we started. And I know we were not going to be the first on the docket for orientation as the new appointees and the new administration rolls in. But as they come through their orientations, they say, tell me what you guys are doing. I've heard about this Lean Six Sigma stuff. We're going to be able to present to them some measurable improvements that are receiving exponential results. And at that point, they have to make a conscious decision. I will either be for success or I am against it. And we want to paint that picture so clearly that the obvious choice will always be to support something that's working. So we believe that the work that we're doing now will create that environment for success and support. And we also believe that in most cases, we're operating below the churn level. That's happening at the political appointee level and the new administration officials. But where Lean Six Sigma is working is at the practitioner level on everyday processes that support the warfighter. And so we will largely continue to work exactly as we are now, strategically aligning our project and working to project completion.
Well, I mean, your results are very, very compelling, and I've got to believe that it would be near impossible to argue against such a program.
Exactly. We want to present this choice that who could be against this type of success.
Given all the work that has been done and all the efforts involved, could you highlight some of the key lessons learned from DoD's continuous process improvement and Lean Six Sigma initiatives?
That is something that we try to review on a continual basis because we really believe in the continuous process improvement. I learned some very valuable lessons. I've got scars to prove it from the first deployment. And so what I've done is I've taken a look at what are some of the critical success factors. And they're a little bit generic, but they really apply no matter where you're at. But what we did is we actually ran a project to understand what were the critical success factors for successful deployment of this. And then we examined what we could do to eliminate the causes of error, the root causes of the problem. And the first thing that and you've heard this before, but the first thing still remains the same, and that is leadership commitment. If you don't have leadership commitment, I would not recommend you even starting the methodology. For the sake of this scenario, let's say that we have leadership commitment, and they've said, not only am I committed by telling you about it, I'm actually going to give you the resources to deploy this because it's not free. So we have leadership commitment. The next critical factor was picking the right people. As I mentioned before, I hire on genetics. I mean, it's either in their DNA or it's not. So you have to pick the right student. So when you pick the right student or when you pick the right person to head your department, they have to have that in their genetics of continuous process improvement. So we've got leadership commitment. Now we have the right personnel, either as a student or as a program office. The next thing happens when we pick the project for them. If this is a project that nobody cares about, they may do a fantastic job, but it's not significant and will largely go unnoticed. So you have to pick the right project. Now, the leadership has to care about it. And one of the ways you determine if they care about it is if it's being measured now, if there are any metrics around it that say, we are going to make a decision based off these results. So if you fix a process that has a dramatic impact on the decision-making of the leadership, then you've picked the right level of project that the leader cares about. And the last piece that I learned and am still learning is the Master Black Belt support. There are a number of deployments that will train people, and then they're after their 40 hours or 160 hours are kind of out there in the wilderness. And you can get classroom instruction and you can pass the test, but you've never actually applied it in a real-world scenario. You're going to have some questions and you're going to make some mistakes. What we did is we assigned a Master Black Belt to every student, and we tell the Master Black Belt, you meet with them every week for at least an hour. So there is a built-in mentoring of someone who's completed, you know, 10 years worth of projects and probably has done one just like you're doing and knows the ways to avoid pitfalls, et cetera. So we had the leadership committed, we had the right student, had the right project, and we provided them with a seasoned, experienced Master Black Belt. And those have been critical to the success rate that we've enjoyed so far of folks not only getting through the class but completing projects and getting certified.
So keeping a focus on the future, with the evolution of the global threat environment and the many challenges associated with it, how do you envision DoD and the business transformation efforts will evolve over, let's say, the next 3 to 5 years to meet some of these challenges?
Well, I have a kind of a stark view of the next 3 to 5 years, and it's really contingent upon this year. As you know, with the change of administration, things are going to be different. Change is inevitable in that case. If this methodology and if this movement, this transformation doesn't take hold now, then we aren't going to have another opportunity for probably the next 5 years. What's critical about that is we have the highest equity right now in this methodology. We have the Deputy Secretary of Defense, who is an ardent supporter. We have service chiefs. We have department heads. We have agencies and activities that are fully committed to it right now. Our stock has never been higher. If we don't solve those four major work streams and get to exponential returns, then we are just going to be yesterday's methodology. And the new administration and the new leadership is going to come in and go, I could take it or leave it. It's not that significant to me. So this is a critical year for us. If we haven't demonstrated exponential returns by January, I think everybody's going to revert back to the way they were and that they'll have pockets of excellence in their own organizations, but we won't have integration, we won't have strategic alignment, and we won't have exponential returns. So I can't really tell you what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years, but I can tell you that if it doesn't happen this year, it's not going to be a pretty picture for the next five.
Well, it sounds like you're well off on this path, and I think success is inevitable. So, JD, you've had sort of a very interesting ride with Lean Six Sigma, and again, I'm going back to this sort of wonderful story about how you got started in public service. So can you tell me a little bit about what do you think has been the most rewarding aspect of your DoD career, and what advice might you give someone who's out there sort of thinking about what their next move may be and how they may factor into a career in public service?
You know, I haven't had a lot of time to look back because I've only recently retired. But I will say that what made it the most rewarding for me was the people. I mean, every assignment, every place, every country I went to, it was always, you know, the things that I remember are the people. So that was the most important and rewarding piece was the soldiers and the civilians that I work with over the last 20-some years. As far as most rewarding assignment, I think my tour in Bosnia was probably the most satisfying. It was a very turbulent time over there. We had a great mission to catch bad people that did bad things, and it was very satisfying to see them brought to justice. Can't tell you much more about it than that, but that was a very rewarding time for me. And I think if I was to give any advice, and I don't do that very often, of someone who is going to enter into the public service. There's only a couple of things that have worked for me and may not work for anybody else, but they work for me. But I always believe that you should be a master at your craft, whatever it is. And I'm not saying you be a master at all of them, but pick one that you really love and be good at it. And then let that take you where it will. That worked for me. And it also really makes your quality of life index go way up too. To get paid for something you love to do, you can't beat that.
No, you certainly can't. Well, I tell you, that's a wonderful perspective, and I thank you for it. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Monica and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, both as a uniformed officer and now as a civilian.
Well, thank you very much, Al. Monica, it's been a pleasure to be here. I enjoyed our conversation. I would say that there are great things in store for the Department of Defense. I think we really have hit on something that's going to improve our efficiency and our effectiveness, ultimately improving our warfighter. And in keeping with that tradition, we are going to be briefing, as I mentioned a couple of times earlier, is we're going to be briefing the Deputy Secretary on the 22nd of October at the Sheraton National Hotel on the DOD-wide Breakthrough Convention. And it will be the culmination of the work that we started back in July of fixing some DOD-wide challenges or addressing these challenges to come up with some innovative solutions that will have exponential return. So we're calling it the Breakthrough Convention. It's on the 22nd and 23rd of October here locally in the Sheraton National Hotel. And it's going to be a great opportunity for all of the leaders, the Department of Defense, and to come together and to see what difference this methodology has made for them. So we look forward to briefing out those results. And once again, thank you very much. It was a pleasure being with you.
Great. Well, we certainly wish you the best of luck and look forward to hearing some of the results from that conference. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with J.D. Cecilia, Director of the DOD Lean Six Sigma Program Office. My co-host has been Monica Painter, Associate Partner and Public Sector Operations Strategy Leader at IBM. As you enjoy the rest of the day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.